I don't know. Did you happen to catch any of it? Like
It
a highlight, even if just even if just highlights, that's fine.
yeah,
Okay.
I did. What was it? Like, we were just trying to kill some times, so I threw it on for like it, honestly 15 minutes or something
Yeah.
like that.
So
So yeah, it
like that's fine. But
yeah.
you know, I think I mentioned this before. Dusty said before, it's just like a modern day slave trade. And once you like think about it, he's right. I mean, they're measuring stuff, they're making people run, they're doing this, like all these weird things. They measure their hands and they get like psych evaluations and all this stuff. I'm like, this is just weird. It's weird and it's beyond sports by this point. But then all that out of the way, whatever, right? 'Cause remember that one year they famously asked one kid if his mom was a prostitute. Like one of the teams asked him that. Or no, asked if his mom was a hoe or something like that.
Oh, I do not remember
Yes,
that.
that was a real question. Like a face-to-face question. Be like, "Wait, what?" Anyways, so like you threw around for 15 minutes and like you see highlights of like stuff that happens, like how fast somebody is, right? And then if you really think about it, there are people that go to this just to watch. There are people who turn it on TV to watch this stuff intently.
Oh yeah,
And
like I mean, it was all over. Like I said, I guess I popped it on ESPN just to kill some time. And I
yeah.
mean, that was just hours of coverage of
Yeah.
the combine. Like that's where like it I kind of liked getting into the draft thing, and then I'm like, guys, this has kind of gotten a little zany here. Like I'm out.
Yeah. Now, look, if you're in the profession, I get it, right? Like, you're supposed to be there, watch it on TV, right? If
Oh,
you're a
right.
fan watching this, you're a fucking loser. I'm sorry. There is no way around that. If you're watching all hours and going, "Oh man, his 40 time's just too slow. He ran a 4.340 instead of a 4.440. His draft stock drops 2 rounds." You're a fucking loser and moron for that point. This is idiocy. That this stuff even goes on. With modern day tech, you see game film. Who was the guy that didn't practice? Was it Caleb Williams?
Well, and that's the one thing too. Like a lot of the top draft picks are not like, nah, that's okay.
Yeah, why would you?
Yeah, I mean this it's one of those situations where the combine has gone from like super spectacle to like it's one of those places where the people that aren't the top people are like, hey, I'm trying to get noticed to maybe avoid free agency, try and get drafted in one of the later rounds, or at least people that are maybe a little more on edge about their stock. So yeah, like there's definitely been a little bit of a separation with some of them, because yeah, Caleb Williams was like, I'm number one, so like, no,
Yeah, like I've well I was like I know
thank you.
like Michigan had 18 guys there, which I guess was a record, including six offensive linemen, which is insane that there would be six offensive linemen invited to the combine, 'cause you can only start five. So but no, I just say like it was all over my Twitter feed when I get on there. And most of the time I just go straight to the trending stuff just to see, 'cause it doesn't always work out, but there is like trending for you. So I'm like, "Oh, let's see this stuff." But yeah, I mean, you see timelines and it's like, "Oh, this guy ran a blah blah blah." And I'm like, "Who cares?" Okay. In all seriousness, like they show like Blake Corum running and his first one, he beat his first time during his second run by like 0.3 of a second. And they're like, "Oh, that's much better. That's what he was aiming for." and it's not that big of a difference. I don't care. Like, no one in the NFL is actually sitting there going, well, you know, a 4.8 and a 4.9, that's just not good enough. Like,
That would have been Al Davis when he was still alive.
yeah, well, shows you why his team was what his team was. So, but it just, and the other thing, and I know I've done this before, why the hell are linemen running a 40? Why? Makes no sense. Makes no sense whatsoever. No lineman should. Not even a defensive end. You're running a sprint or you're running a defensive play that includes strategy, positioning. Oh, and you have to be there pretty quick. Which, if your technique is correct, you don't need speed. You can beat your lineman off the ball. Like, this stuff is so ridiculous. And then you just see the fanfare it gets. And then people are actually going there watching. God damn, I mean, I know it was Indianapolis, but you got some other things you can do. You can do anything else in the world other than watch a bunch of teenagers running and jumping really high and then bench pressing like crazy.
Yeah, I feel like there's better avenues to be spending your time. I am definitely in agreement with that.
Yeah, just.
Especially when your team is maybe gonna draft like two or three of those people, like at most.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not like you're going there as a scout. Like, what? But yeah, I mean, again, it gets TV coverage now. People are there. It's like, what the fuck? Like you said, if you go to the draft, at least it's just, you know, you can just get hammered
Yeah.
and watch it. It's pretty inactive, you know. But the combine, yeah, you're presenting yourself as more serious by like, yeah, I'm really inspecting the Steelers' prospects here. It's like, get the fuck out of here.
Arya, shut up. Yeah, I'm not. I don't know about their chances this year. It probably would have been a little bit stronger if they would have gone. It's just a level. It's like, maybe it's for gambling purposes. I don't know, but it's like, it just seems absurd. And then, like, I guess, you know what? If they can sell it, they get ad revenue from it, whatever else. I don't blame the NFL for doing it at all. But I blame the people who watch it and then try to like dissect it. Like, you're not in the sport. You're just some dummy watching it. You don't know anything. Oh God. I don't know why it bothers me because I don't watch it, but it fills up my timeline. Or like, if I go to like one of the
Oh.
Reddit pages I go to, I'm like, why are we talking about this? This is stupid.
Oh my gosh, I get a highlights of like wrestling posts and a lot of them are on Reddit and I'm just like, I just laugh at the names of like, this is the Roman Cody mega thread. No one else is allowed to post about this. I'm just like, I'm pretty sure that other people are posting about this in another thread here, sir. Like, why the fuck are you even bothering? Just fucking stupid.
Yeah, well, it's wrestling too, which is like, you know, divisive anyways. I mean, I don't know. Did you watch AEW's pay-per-view? You got it, right?
Yes, I did.
All right, so I didn't listen to the show. What'd you think? Did you like it or?
Yeah. I'd like, again, consistent theme. Wrestling never the problem with AEW. I did think that they had advanced some of the storylines fairly well, like the Hangman, Swerve, Samoa Joe stuff was working fairly well. The Sting stuff, I mean, the Sting retiring was the biggest draw. honestly.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And it was just, everything else was just kind of like on top of it. Plus that build was actually really good too. So yeah, I did feel like they kind of had some decent builds. I mean, as dumb as the build was, the Roderick Strong, Orange Cassidy stuff had been a long time in the making. So, yeah, they had mostly done right, even if I agree with Chris where it's hard to take Roderick Strong seriously. Like, they're going to need to make him more serious consistently moving forward if that's the route they want to go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I enjoyed it. It was fun. Okay.
All right. Yeah. So, what did you think of Dynamite last night?
Well, you know, it was funny. You mentioned the Vince McMahon segment, and I'm like, man, I did a terrible. I was like, was I not paying that much attention? I know that the afternoon watch sessions can maybe not be the best for him. And I'm like, it's like nothing really stuck out to me about what really triggered him to be this pissed off.
Okay, so the show opens with Swerve. He's down on his luck, blah, 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 right? Okay.
Yeah.
So, cool, I get it. You lost. And so I didn't watch the pay-per-view, all right? But they were saying that it looked like Hangman Page may have done a quick tap. They never acknowledged that. So I guess that wasn't it. He just tapped out. I'm going with that because that's not what I saw from the highlights.
Well, they did sell that at the pay-per-view.
Yeah, but they didn't last night.
No, and I guess I did not think about it until just as you mentioned it, that Adam Page not to be seen last night.
Nope, not at all. That's why he got fired by the Bucks, and they had to do it like this because he wasn't there. So, like, okay.
Well, I did feel like it was curious that they said that he was only fired from the Elite. He was not fired from AEW.
Yes. So, I mean, that makes sense. So, you know, in their stuff, yeah, it makes sense. Fine, whatever. That didn't, like, that's later in the show, didn't bother me at all. So, Swerve's in there, and then Joe's in there talking shit, which he should, and the Kingdom interrupts, and Adam Cole talking, like, can we get him out of the wheelchair already? Like, listen, that's not a good aesthetic. And I understand he's hurt, but come up with a cool cane or something. You know, looks like a badass. It's hard to take seriously. Like, even when Bret Hart was in, like, which is still, if you really think about it, one of the funniest things we've seen, Bret Hart was in a leather bomber jacket and jean shorts in a wheelchair. There's just something funny about that.
So, yeah, Adam Cole does not have that kind of style.
No, and so they're all standing there. He's like, oh, we'll do a tag team match. Swerve's like, how about me and Samoa Joe? And Joe's like, what? Joe should be like, I'm not teaming with you. End of the segment. Instead, Swerve just goes, yeah, I'm Joe and I against you guys. And then, of course, Tony's like, yeah, it'll be tonight.
It's right now.
Yeah. I'm like, wait, why? Why does Swerve want Joe as his partner? Why is Joe sitting there saying, yeah, okay, yeah, I'll be your partner? No. Just walk out.
He hates them even more?
For what reason? So
he's Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
He's angry at everyone.
But it's like, if they would have at least explained Joe going, we ain't friends, but I'll gladly beat up on these two jobbers. And then what happens next? Your Ring of Honor tag team champions get fucking squashed. That is Vince McMahon
ROH tag
booking. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yes, I misspoke. The greatest ROH Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions of all time got squashed. And no one's got a problem with this? And yes, I know it's a Ring of Honor. It's not the AEW Tag Team Champions. That's fine. I get that part. It's still terrible. It's just like,
yeah.
Oh no, I forgot her name. Like, there's a definite problem with perception of Ring of Honor on this show. Who's the one? She's the black chick.
She's, Athena.
No, she's new. Oh no, I cannot remember her name.
She's new.
Adore? No.
Queen Aminata.
That's it. Thank you. Yes. She hasn't won a goddamn match in AEW, but yet she's one of the favorites for the Ring of Honor Women's TV Championship. Please explain this to me.
She has won at least one match on a Rampage and/or Collision.
Cool.
But that is not enough to earn a championship match.
It's just. So there's that perception problem, but like that opening segment was trash. From a logic standpoint, when you're going with character motivations and then you're going to crushing your tag team champions of a part of your promotion that no one really cares about now. So I should let that part go. But it's still bad.
I care about Ring of Honor.
No. And maybe they would if the Ring of Honor people actually did something. Outside of Eddie Kingston.
Even with him, I feel like the ROH stuff has been lost in the... Continental Crown or whatever the hell they're calling it now.
That's exactly it. It's like, yeah, he's got all these belts.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's like he's just cluttered now.
It really is. It's just something to like slow him down going to the ring. And I like Eddie Kingston, so it's like, okay, he's got a funny walk when he, like, fast walks down to the ring. So now he's got all these titles. It's like, hot, 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 hot. Oh, boy. But
He kind of has a penguin walk to him.
Yeah, yes. But no, like that's what I was talking about. Like, this is stupid.
It was probably not a good look. Even though Joe and Swerve are obviously main eventers.
They should beat those guys. But it should at least be competitive. There should at least be like some animosity with Swerve and Joe. There was a tad bit of not wanting to tag. But after that, that's it. No miscommunication. Yeah. In fact, the miscommunication was on the established team. It's a book backwards. And then at the end, Joe attacks Swerve.
But only because, what, did Adam Page distract him? No.
No, he wasn't there.
Didn't someone show up on Wardlow.
Yeah, Wardlow, yes, because he challenged Joe, and I guess that's going to be a big business next week. And to be frank, Wardlow should beat Joe. They should shock the shit out of everybody.
Yeah.
You know, like, this show's stale as hell. So do something crazy.
Chris and I did not think that was going to happen whenever that matchup happened. So it would be a shock to me if they decided to go that route.
Yes, it would be to me, too. That's why, like, all right, listen, their ratings are pretty much stagnant. They go up to 900,000 to 600,000, somewhere in between there. It doesn't seem to matter who's on. It's just they decide when they want to, people decide when they want to watch. Their attendance is already plummeting outside of pay-per-views. So, do something shocking. It was funny because one of her coworkers, she asked if I was still watching, and she's like, yeah, he watches everything. And... and they go, no, we just stopped watching. These are regular people. They're not like us.
Oh, right.
You know? And she goes, I can't remember her name, her friend's name is. But anyways, they said, yeah, we stopped watching because it was just predictable and it was like just kind of boring. Like the predictable parts of it. And then it was something else. And like they didn't like some of the people, which is, that just happens. But
Oh.
these are the people I keep talking about that you need to keep. So
They're definitely the extra eyeballs.
yeah. And you aren't gonna grow with the same people watching, because if the attitude era showed anything, as soon as you get stale or change it up too much, people jettison. So,
Yeah, I mean, I did kind of chuckle that they went from that was something that they went from the pay-per-view to that show, and there was a gigantic crowd size difference.
well, because you said it yourself, though, because the draw was Sting.
Oh, yes.
That's it. I don't think outside of that, that show was going to draw anybody.
Well, and I feel like they'd almost end up having just because Big Business is next week in Boston and they did TD North. If they hadn't been teasing Mercedes Moné is so hard, I don't think they do that building. Like the next time they go back to Boston, I don't think they do that building.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. Yeah.
Because, everyone wants to see the return. But after that, it's not as big of a deal after that.
Yeah. Well, that's what I think we'd, was it Chris and I or you and I? We were discussing is if Mercedes Moné is an actual draw or not. Now, maybe for the debut, sure. But then going forward, I mean, is she? And then on a casual fan, if they're if they even tune into AEW anymore, is like seeing her be like, oh my gosh, like is it gonna be like, hey, turn on AEW, Sasha Banks is there. So I don't know if she has that power, but I mean, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, and I mean, it would stand to reason that she's going to be against Toni Storm sooner rather than later. And what kind of the Toni Storm stuff is enjoyable, but it really makes it hard to work with.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's fair.
It's just like, what's Mercedes gonna do? Like, I'm a star of today.
I hadn't
And
even thought of that.
she's been in like three whole Star Wars episodes as a very background character.
Well, she had two matches for New Japan. So, and like that's I know it's like being kind of snarky about it, but
I've said it before, I really like her as a wrestler,
yeah.
but also like I'm not tuning in to, like I'm not that concerned about her. Like she's not really gonna be one of those people that I'm like, yeah, I need to. And plus the women's division is still just in a weird spot.
Yeah, it
Like
really
just
is.
on top of the Toni Storm stuff, like I thought that they had finally gotten Hikaru Shida straight, and she's been gone for how many months now?
Yeah. Well, the problem with her is she's already like won the championship three times. So I was like, God damn, we going for Ric Flair of AEW sort of thing?
Well, yeah, they've painted themselves into a bad spot because they gave up on her second reign entirely too soon, so they gave her the third one. And they did the same thing with Toni Storm. Like that was, I guess that was another thing I did like from that aspect. Toni Storm needed to hold on to the championship just because I feel like the women's championship has changed hands entirely too frequently when the new woman comes into the company. But I can see that 100% happening for Mercedes Moné.
God, I mean, that's... Yeah, I mean, I can... I don't disagree with you, but it's like, really? Like, if... I guess if Mariah May somehow gets involved, at least have her transition to something, but... It's like, the women's division, like you said, is in a weird spot also, because the undercard's just kind of goofy, like... And it's also a problem with sustainability with anybody in this company. Deonna Purrazzo comes in, gets a good, you know, solid spotlight for a month.
Yep.
She wasn't even mentioned last night outside of she lost. And then, like, Chris Statlander comes back. And this is still the mystery one to me. She comes back, beats Jade Cargill, and then loses her title like 3 weeks later or something. Like,
No, she did have the championship for a little while.
It was barely a run, though.
It was long. It's longer than you think. But what they did was they had her win. Like, they had her beat Jade, and then she beat a bunch of the women in the division. And then they're like, "Oh crap! Because we had you wrestle a woman on Collision, then on Dynamite." And then one on Rampage. We're out of challengers, and we're not quite sure what to do right now because, like, we just had you fight four different opponents in approximately 3 weeks.
Yeah, and then...
It's just like, why do you guys keep doing this to yourselves? Yeah. Like, not everyone needs to be wrestling on every show.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, and...
Good gravy.
You blow through stuff, and then the people that she could go with are hurt. I mean, Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter, it's been forever. And then thank God Riho came back for the next few weeks until she disappears until 2025.
Yeah, that's one that I knew that you were going to be very excited about her
appearance. I'm never excited when she's on, man. It's not believable. And that's part of the another part of the problem I have with this show was some of the stuff was so unbelievable that it takes me out of stuff. And this is one. Chris Statlander versus her. They've established how strong Chris Statlander is. She should be throwing her around like a ball. And it's like it comes down to she doesn't use a chain and real like, oh my God.
I like the idea. It's Stokely Hathaway has still been one of those characters where I get the entertainment value, but he on screen, he has not really helped anyone.
No.
It's really weird.
It's such an oddball pairing. Like, all right, I liked it better when he was trying to force himself into being the manager, and then he was being like kind of flirty, like, yeah, you know, he was doing like kind of like creeper stuff. It made it interesting because you didn't know where he was really coming from. And now it's just like he just wants to be your manager. Well, I guess you are. You're already out there, and he's trying to like do stuff. And I guess it, she's going heel. It's just what it seems like. This is where it's going.
Right.
You know, Willow getting wins, and then Willow going for the TBS title next. And it's like, well, what about me? So it writes itself. And her and Willow are going against each other, but didn't Willow just beat her a few weeks ago?
Statlander?
Yeah, they wrestled on...
Why?
It was in, I think it was Willow Nightingale's hometown. So she wanted like a real competition or something.
Oh, I don't remember watching.
Yeah, and then they were all happy. Yeah, it was on something. And then they were all, you know, they're all happy about it afterwards. Like, kind of like, you know, the Don Callis family fighting each other.
This was one thing that I had thought about. I'm wondering why. Don Callis does not think that it's a good idea to have his people wrestle the top ranked people in AEW, because you know they have a ranking system, right? Or have we already forgotten about that?
I get the feeling that's going away already. They barely mentioned it this week.
But I only thought about it because of the Don Callis stuff, honestly. And I was just sitting there going, why wouldn't he have his guys fight the top people so that they can get to the championship instead of just fighting each other? Like, I get the concept that he's trying to go with, but it's just like, wouldn't it be a more efficient use of time if, you know, they started to win championships for you? Because isn't that where all the cash is supposed to be? You know, we're kind of living the gimmick here.
Kevin, so one, you're thinking logically. And two, didn't you hear him? Families that fight together get stronger.
Yeah, I did hear him.
Yeah, well, that's all the explanation you need. Because, you know, going against the top guys trying to win titles and stuff, why would you do that? When you can get a bunch of guys people don't really care about. They'll say they do, but if Takeshita never showed up again, would you miss him? No. And listen, Kyle Fletcher's only 25, and he seems to have a pretty good future ahead of him, right?
Yeah, yes.
As long as he doesn't die. And this Don Callis thing, like, beyond the logic of them fighting each other, makes no sense. Unless they're all going to turn on Will Ospreay at the end, which doesn't make any sense, but hey, that's probably what's going to happen now. Because he still has one more to go, isn't it, Will Hobbs?
Yeah, I mean,
or Powerhouse Hobbs.
Yeah. Jeez. I forgot that he was in that group, honestly. Yeah.
Well, here's the other thing. Let's shock everyone and have Will Hobbs beat him. Do something shocking. And I know everyone will be like, oh my God, you can't beat Will Ospreay. No, you shouldn't. But goddamn, do something different on this show. If I have to sit through, and I know I'm going to be in the minority of this, that match last night, the main event, the athleticism is unparalleled. There's no way around that. It was fluid. I mean, a little choreographed, but with some of the dangerous ass stuff they're doing, sure. But if I got to sit through another 15-minute match where it's all finishing moves that don't work, I'm going to shut this fucking show off. I mean, it wasn't just me. She's sitting here next to me just staring going, that didn't do it? I was like, no. And she could just see my body language changing watching this. Every move that looks like you should die gets a two count. Just do something different. You know what? For shits and giggles, put an ankle lock on. You know? Just a little simple one. Or a headlock. Surprise the shit out of everybody and do a headlock. Oh, another good thing you can do is if you go off the top rope with a poison rana, whatever that move was supposed to be, you get spiked on your head, you take a three count. This is stupid. Like, I am all for false finishes. Not 17 in a 13-minute span.
Yeah, there is a couple too many kickouts in that
match.
Holy
shit. Okay, kickouts, fine. All right, so I'll give this part. Kickouts, fine. How about you sell your hurt for more than 30 seconds? You just got spiked on your head off the top rope. You're up and doing flips already. Why should I care about anything I'm watching? If you're showing me that these moves don't work. So it's one of two things. This is the fakest shit you can possibly watch. Or your opponent sucks and he's weak. If he's trying to murder you and he doesn't murder you, well, he's not a very good murderer.
That is a true statement. If you're failing to murder people, you are not a very good murderer.
Hey, listen, it's not the athleticism. Will Ospreay is a total package, but I can obviously see why he signed with AEW over WWE. One, probably money and schedule, I'm sure. But he ain't
Oh.
doing this shit in WWE. You think Randy Orton's gonna take a bunch of that stuff and go, well, one, I'm not doing that. And then two, if you hit me with one of these giant things, I'm gonna lose. So, no. Roman ain't doing that. You know, like the guys who actually have like the capability of having psychology and actual story in their match other than hitting 78 DDTs, they're not going to do this stuff. 'Cause it doesn't make sense.
So you're gonna love Will Ospreay is what you're telling me.
It's going to be a love hate, that's for sure. Hey, listen, I see that, I get it. I mean, like I said, that's a total package, dude. But
Yeah, he can talk, he can wrestle, has a good look.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, all of it.
Yep.
But you've got to sell, or this doesn't mean anything. And hey, listen, Gunther did that on Monday. That drove me crazy too. And you know how much I love Gunther. He goes and he misses that chop, chops the ring post outside, which I guess you can kind of get away with this one because it's not steel, it's plastic with the LEDs in it.
Yeah, oh, it does not look like it hurts as much as it used to.
Right. And he
That
sold it for
is for sure.
10 seconds and then he was right back to killing Dom. I'm like, ah. So, and boy did he.
Yeah, that was still funny.
Yeah, I really like that. But then I'll tell you what, like Chris and I kind of talked ourselves into, hey, maybe Dom will beat him. So when he did that sunset flip and got that really close two count on Gunther, I was like, oh my God. Because I don't remember Gunther pulling people up before either.
No, he was really being a dick.
Yeah, so was he? Because the crowd sure was cheering.
Well,
You know?
everyone likes to good see a good Dominic ass kicking, even if it's by someone else they would normally boo.
Yeah, really do. But that Raw show was kind of weird for that anyways, because the Judgment Day were playing straight baby faces. In the tag match?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
they were playing to the
Rhea's been a
crowd and all
baby
that.
face for a while.
Yeah, well, yeah. So, but no, I'm trying to. Oh, what else was on AEW? I didn't mean to get away from that. I just want to give an example of poor selling. So, I'm not just ganging up on AEW or Ospreay. Because I'm not that familiar with his matches. I've seen some. Obviously, like him and Kenny Omega, I saw that one. And seen some others. But I just couldn't believe the level of like ignorance to selling moves.
Oh, boy, there was not a lot, because I'm going backwards on this show.
Well,
Because there wasn't much in between, because you mentioned the tag match. We had Hook and Brian Cage for the FTW Championship.
yep, we did.
So that was,
Another unbelievable one. And even she goes, wait a minute, you're telling me that guy is getting beat by this teenager? And I'm like, that's Taz's kid. She goes, who's Taz? I'm like, never mind. Just never mind.
I mean,
I
yeah,
don't care how
Brian.
much judo you do. I don't care.
Well, it would help if Brian Cage could move.
Yeah, that rust that's on him. He moved in TNA. I don't know what happened. So.
I tell you what happened. He's been wrestling and his body's wearing down. It's Like, I've argued for a long time that the man just needs to lose, you know, muscle.
Yeah.
But he's just like, nah, this is the way I want to look. And it's just like, okay. Like, I mean, I do think it's hindering him, and it's not going to make him any better with age.
No, and it's funny seeing, like, old pictures of him. how not big he used to be, I'll put it that way. So, and it's like, you don't need to do this. You're right. But but outside of, like, looking like muscle, what does he have going for him? His promos aren't that good. Like...
I mean, it was hilarious when was his wife complaining on Twitter a few years ago or something. Yeah. And I mean, he hasn't really done anything to like prove people otherwise. I mean, is he terrible? No. Is he, you know, going to be a superstar or whatever they feel like calling themselves in AEW, like the top people? No. Like, he's gonna be employed if they want to keep employing him, but his ceiling is really low.
Yeah, when he was in TNA, I think that was a case of big fish, small pond. And I mean, he busted his ass in there. There's no way around that. But like in AEW, he's just a guy, and he's been a guy ever. It's like, remember when him and Hangman had a feud? Was it COVID era? And he just beat the bejesus out of Hangman, and Hangman came back and beat him.
Yeah.
So, like, that's like the highlight. That was it.
Yeah, he has not had a great run. Like, because I believe that when his wife was complaining, because it was actually Twitter, I believe, at that point, he's had a comeback. And, I mean, he's been on TV a decent chunk here with, because which... Oh,
he's part of Nano's thing.
Yeah, he's with the Swerve Mogul Embassy. Yeah. Yes. So, yeah, he's gotten more TV time. He's gotten some wins. I feel like he has a Ring of Honor championship, or had one recently.
Yeah, he was six man, right?
Oh, six man. Oh, yeah, with the Gates of Agony.
Wait, who are the Ring of Honor six man?
They used to be the champions, I believe.
Oh, the Bang Bang Gang. That's who it is.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, yeah, that was it. All right. Anyways. God, yeah, we're talking way too much about Brian Cage. We both are. But, we also had Darby Allin giving a farewell speech. Jesus Christ. Like.
Oh, I did get a good laugh when I'm just like, dude, come on. I don't even know if I'm going to come back from Mount Everest. I'm like, it is not as dangerous as it used to be. Like, they kind of have things down pat now here, Chief.
Yeah, well, I was like, watching.
I understand that there are still risks that you take because it's fucking cold up there.
Well, I was watching Observer Live, and... Alvarez looked it up, and it's like 330 people a year, I think, die climbing Mount Everest. Which, I don't know how many people climb it every year. That sounds like a lot.
Yeah, it sounds pretty solid.
So it's like I know what you're saying, but at the same time, I'm like, huh. So, and especially after him throwing himself through glass. Listen, I understand the glass was rough. I actually did get to see that match. Someone had a rip of it on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
The real thing is him jumping off that ladder and flatbacking it on the floor. Listen, I know there's glass, but what was that, 20 feet? I mean...
that was the part that, to me, was a marvel. The fact that he pretty much nailed the flat back off of that move was incredible. Like, it's so easy to over rotate and like land on more tailbone. He absorbed that about as well as one could.
Yeah.
He was on top of a ladder in the ring and went the whole way down to the floor. So If it's a 10-foot ladder, the ring's 4 to 5 foot tall.
think it's
Because, I
four.
mean,
Yeah.
four. Yeah, so we're talking at least 14 feet, depending upon how tall the actual ladder is. That's a long way down, man. That is a long way down.
I'm looking up the height of a wrestling ring. I'm curious about that.
I feel like four makes sense. There's three steps plus usually a step into the ring. So if you get 7 inches per step, if you're actually going by code, that's 14, 28
40
inches.
inches, so 3.5? No. 3.25 feet?
3 foot 4.
Okay, so yeah, so not quite four, but yeah. All right. That sounds more reasonable. But
Yep.
anyways, yeah. But it's like he's doing all of this crazy shit knowing he's going to climb Mount Everest next week. That's pretty messed up. Like you'd almost think like whoever's doing his guide is like, ah, no. Like it'd be funny. I mean, I'm joking. He never saw the pay-per-view and he ain't watching wrestling anyways, but it'd still be funny. So
I would have to think that having a giant cut on your back would be detrimental to this experience.
yeah, he apparently only got 12 stitches.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was bloody.
Yes. I mean, doesn't mean he's not all cut up. It just means he only got 12
Yeah,
stitches.
12 stitches. Yeah, this is a good point. This is a very good point. I have bled many a time and not ended up with a whole lot of stitches.
Don't think I've. Yeah, the only time I've ever had stitches is when I had a mole removed. Everything else, I just let it kind of fix itself, which is probably why I have too many scars, but I'm not supposed to go to the doctor. Fuck that. So it's just what super glue and tape is for, right? But yeah,
Yeah, hard to do when it's in your head.
true.
Can't really tape it up.
Yeah, but no. So like, all right. So there's that, and then what was? Oh, so here's another thing about AEW. So, and I already know you're gonna be like, this doesn't matter, but it does. So you got Ruby Soho and Cool Hand Luke are going on a date, right? Saraya and her brother. Saraya's brother goes and beats up and like hits him with a I don't know, a tire jack, whatever he hit him with, right? And on commentary is Menard, who doesn't even say anything about it. This is on Collision. And then go to this week, Menard's on TV, and he doesn't even mention it. That's your tag team partner. Like, this doesn't make any sense. At least follow your own, like, your own show. He should be like freaking out that this guy like where's Saraya's brother, whatever else, something. And I understand it's just it's a lower mid card goofy like angle, but still. That bothered me. Just stuff like that. So, and again, I know it doesn't matter. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But I know there was something else on this. Oh, you heard Sammy Guevara got suspended, right?
Oh, that just made me chuckle for not knowing that Jeff Hardy was concussed.
If I'm Sammy Guevara, I'm like, can I just be released? And I'm not exaggerating. I'll do the 90 days, whatever you want. Get his ass to NXT or WWE. And this shit won't happen. Oh, Triple H will grab him up in a heartbeat.
Well, yeah, he's on a long list of people that are ready to head over to the WWE.
Yeah, he.
Ricky Starks also on that list. Daniel Garcia after his treatment this weekend, definitely on that list.
I just I don't know if Daniel Garcia fits WWE.
He fits NXT. I'm not sure if he fits the main roster.
True. But yeah, but Sammy and Ricky Stark both fit WWE proper. But yeah, I don't know about Daniel Garcia, but yeah, it's like enough. Or how about this? Don't schedule him to fight Hardys. That'd be another good idea, because nothing ever goes right when he goes against the Hardy brothers. But the very idea, he got suspended and the referee didn't, the training staff didn't. Tony Khan should be suspending himself for not being in someone's ear going, hey, call the fucking match off. It's on one of the wrestlers, like, and I guess there's a rule if there's a possible concussion, you're not supposed to do your finishing move. What? You test for you what you don't end the match, you just let it go and go, oh, he had a concussion in hindsight. Yeah, so I don't get that at all. But I thought it was weird Jericho was teaming up with Darby. And I'm like, oh, I guess that's why. So.
Yeah, and Chris Jericho doesn't need to be teaming with anyone right now.
No, it'd be fine if Jericho left for a while. You know what? I know he doesn't want to, but it's like, okay, it's okay if he goes away too. Like, go back to WWE, get your roses, and get in the Hall of Fame. Let's go. So.
He could just use a break. I mean, I feel like we've talked about it before,
Yeah.
where he's never been along in wrestling this long recently.
Obviously, technical difficulties. This isn't going to sound the same. So let's just go to NXT. You're right. I was trying to think of something else. Oh, the Young Bucks and Okada. Duh, we forgot Okada debuted.
Yeah, I guess that was kind of interesting. I did find it wild that he was wearing a suit. For some reason, I don't feel like I've ever seen him in anything other than ring gear.
Like, yeah, true. That's very true.
I feel like even I feel like I remembered him throwing out a first pitch at some, Japanese baseball game, and he was in full ring attire. So I'm like, if he's not wearing a suit there, like I don't know where else he's gonna be wearing a suit.
Yeah, I guess this is the, I guess this is his heel gimmick from New Japan. I don't know. I'm not that well versed to know.
Oh
So,
yeah, I definitely have not watched New Japan's pandemic period on. So it's been quite a long time since I've watched that.
yeah.
So the Young Bucks are like I have found this iteration of them entertaining, and I guess to have clear, I mean Kenny Omega isn't going to be back anytime soon. Hangman Page doesn't fit with them, so it's good for them to have the muscle like Okada, who's automatically going to get accepted by everyone, as a good wrestler.
Yeah, I did like the whole like pulling the carpet out from underneath people. How he comes in as like this hero to save Eddie Kingston, and then he just ends up clotheslining him and joining these two. I did like that. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Like, okay, didn't
Yeah.
expect it. Nice surprise, you know.
And they didn't drag it out. Like, it wasn't like 3 weeks down the line. He's like, oh, I was always with the Young Bucks.
Yeah,
Like,
yeah.
yeah, just get it over with. Put the boots to him as many times as you can.
Yeah, and no, I enjoyed it. I don't know, like, it's Okada, so it's another one of those like, oh, this is gonna be awesome for AEW. Maybe not the casual fan. You know, like, all right,
Oh.
who's the Japanese guy with blonde hair? Done nothing to tell us who the guy is. You're just supposed to know. Okay. I guess he's been on AEW enough. I don't know. But
I feel like that's where they left it. They're
yeah.
like, yeah, he's been around enough. We've explained this already. It's just like, hey, guys, always worth a re-explainer.
Yeah,
always
just
worth a re-explainer.
So, and it's like, why is it a big deal that he's teaming with the Young Bucks? Why is it a big deal he hit Eddie Kingston, other than, you know, we like Eddie Kingston? I don't know. But I do like it. I don't know. I never really thought he'd fit in WWE anyways. I just didn't see. He doesn't speak English that well. I mean, look, Shinsuke's got a cool gimmick. He never wins. But his gimmick's cool. But goddamn, how long did it take? You know, with like the art and the promos and all this stuff.
Well, it took Vince not being in charge.
That yeah, really I know. That was like...
So, but, A, it sounds like he's, from the one report that I saw a side eye of, it does not sound like, Tony Khan dropped some pretty nice change in his lap to be in AEW. Yeah, I want to say it's something in the four per year category.
Yeah, yeah, and it's pretty cool. I mean, it'll be really cool to see all this. That was the other one. Jay White told Darby he didn't have to wrestle. That was a part of that angle, but we lost all that. So, but you've got all these guys that Tony Khan keeps signing: Jay White, Ospreay, now Okada. You got all these people. So does this mean it's finally going to be like come to an end with all the agreement with everybody? I don't need to see a bunch of CMLL guys anymore. No more New Japan guys. You've got a giant roster. Can we start getting some actual storylines going with these guys now? Oh, and there is one.
It just does not feel like that's ever going to be a strong suit for them.
Yeah, and that's going to hurt them. Like on like Collision this week, it's Mystico and Jack Evans. No, I'm sorry, not Jack Evans. Angelico. When's the last time he's been on TV?
A long time ago.
Yeah, and all of a sudden he's on like against Mystico, who doesn't work there. I guess they just want great matches in their eyes, but that doesn't sell.
I guess we even started the beginning of the review with this. Like, the wrestling is never the problem there.
No. You've got to... I mean, listen, like, to transition over to WWE and NXT, right? It's not like Roman Reigns has great matches. You know? Like, from a technical, like, no one's going to confuse Roman Reigns with Will Ospreay, right? But whose matches
correct.
Are more memorable? And why? Now, I know they've got a little cliched, and I'm using Rome as an example, but, you know, with, like, the interference and all that stuff. But it's big money, not a lot of moves, it's a story being told, and that's what happens. Like, you know what you're getting, but it's the drama of the match. It's the storyline going into it. It's the issues. It's all of that stuff. And in AEW, we get Will Ospreay versus... the guy, I can't remember his name anymore.
Kyle
Takeshita.
Fletcher.
No, Takeshita.
Oh, Takeshita, yeah.
That match isn't going to be remembered. Okay. Now, if there's an actual story, then maybe.
So the Don Callis family's beating up on each other to sharpen steel, sharpen steel, sir.
Yep. So there you go. So, but yeah. But, so anyways, and this actually kind of happened with NXT this week. I thoroughly enjoy this version of Dijak just being a guy who's just beating himself and other people up. Like, that cage match was fun, and then him doing that angle moonsault off the top was unnecessary. But he hit it, which is what I couldn't believe.
Yes, he landed that better than a lot of moonsaults that I've seen recently. From a lower trajectory.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, but the crazy thing is, and this isn't disrespect, but it was against Joe Gacy. Like, I don't think this one's going to exactly burn up, like, feud of the year or anything, you know?
I
So,
do
but
think that it helped out Joe Gacy more than anything else.
he did look like a complete psychopath.
Yeah, I thought that that kind of helped. And honestly, as much as I've liked Dijak online, I'm like, he finally got a win. You
Yeah,
know, like kind of
yes.
a big comprehensive, like he definitely, even though it's been, I feel like, proven up to this point that Dijak is better. They really gave that firm answer because I mean he did kind of dispatch him in fairly short order.
Yeah, and I thought that that was a good way, and it didn't make Gacy look. I mean, he had duct was it duct tape or Gorilla tape wrapped around his head, and not in a like it wasn't a flattering way. Like, wasn't his nose even pulled up like with the tape, like doing pig nose,
Yeah, he had
like.
Yeah, he had like two or three swipes up top and then like
Yeah.
had like his jaw also, but he kind of left his mouth open.
Yeah, like he did not go for like aesthetic at all. Well, I guess he did go for an aesthetic, but a negative one.
Yeah,
Which is like that's not a
it's kind of
WWE thing.
wild.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it, but it's just another like throwaway, NXT cage match. But at least this one
Yeah,
has
the
some
steps
fun
made
stuff.
sense, so.
Well, yeah, these two idiots have been beating each other up for what, 2 months now? So, but it's,
Yeah, you had to get one of those final moment kind of situations going on.
yeah. But yeah, so then the whole Chase U, JC Jane thing with Thea Hale and that, this stuff's getting a little long-winded. Like, I don't understand why JC Jane helps Chase U. And then kind of like turns on Thea. I'm lost in this.
Yeah, Chris and I discussed this last week where there has been zero inkling that JC wasn't happy. Like, she seemed happy to be helping Chase U, and now all of a sudden she thinks they're all losers. Like, I understand the perspective since she's like, hey, like, he's the one that gambled it away, but it's just like, why save it? And like start your own university or something. Like, yeah, why hang out if you don't like the place that you're hanging out at?
Yeah, and like again, this other chick's just there. Could we at least like say that she's a student or something?
Oh, they did give her a name this week.
Sure. So she's just hanging around. And all right, like the Mean Girls thing. All right, I guess that's what this is supposed to be. And then Thea's like, wait. And then it's like Thea came back all spastic, like kind of like going reverting back to her old way.
Oh, yeah.
Which, okay, so I see, you can see where it's going, but it's just like, did we miss a week or two?
Yeah, that's the biggest problem with this. Like, they missed a step in there.
But then it's
And they're never
also,
gonna catch up.
yeah, but it's also like, it's JC Jane too, so we all knew this was going to happen eventually. Like, she never really changed her
Oh.
character.
No.
So, yeah, I.
It was barely resting below the surface.
Yeah, and then add another mean girl. Like, okay.
Yep.
So that was just kind of strange to me. And then them losing the tag titles or a tag match didn't surprise me. They're not taking off the Wolf Dogs yet, even though, like, what do we like? I know he's not exactly having long matches on SmackDown, but Breaker is on SmackDown, so.
I mean, that is the longest match I've ever watched, sir. How dare you
I
say
was
such a
just
thing?
thinking, what happened to Zion Quinn?
I was not thinking that, but I got my answer.
I don't know why, but I did. And oh, I know why, because he is engaged to, oh no, the girl, the crazy Australian girl that's with Saraya.
Oh.
Danny something, forgot her name.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know her name either. Like, just she's kind of been like a side prop.
Yeah.
For this whole Ruby Soho bit.
Well, she did get involved finally, but anyways, so that's what I was thinking of him. And then he's on SmackDown. And he shaved all his facial hair off, and I was like, "Uh oh!" And boom, he gets killed. I'm like, "Oh, yeah." I mean, I know they're putting him with like other NXT guys, like guys he trained with, but that was really short. So, but that match was. I mean, that match was fine. So we have the family now, and they have a concierge, like what is his name, Luciano or?
Oh no, he's a lawyer.
But he said he was going to be his concierge. Like, it's just,
consigliere.
Yes, thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it makes sense. It usually is the spot for a lawyer. Yes. I mean, that's what Tom Higgins was. So.
Yep. And you know, got to keep up the mafia stuff.
So. Yep. Just keep on rolling with this theme.
Yeah.
But yeah, Luca Crucifino.
That's it, thank you.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I think that, maybe this is Chris and I, but Stax needs something to do. That guy makes a perfect tag team partner. And then Tony D, he is the Don. I mean, the guy should be going after singles championships at a minimum.
It was kind of like ham-fisted how all of a sudden he just puts himself in there. You know, like, you just lost your tag titles.
I'm not quite, they didn't quite say why he had the sway other than, you know, alluding to mob stuff. And he did not really have a whole lot of legs to stand on to force himself into that situation.
Yeah, but it's like, it's also like, all right. I mean, I guess they could have had Carmelo beat Dragunov for the title and then have Trick beat him, but it just, that would seem like kind of a weird anticlimactic way for Dragunov to lose the title. So I thought it made sense for Tony D to still do some heelish stuff by teasing Trick Williams.
Yeah.
Only to turn around to go, "Now I'm a good guy. Here's Trick." So.
I told him to wait until after the match.
But a Tony D and Ilya Dragunov match? Yeah. I think we're finally going to... I mean, Tony D'Angelo was a collegiate wrestler. Like, he's not, you know, it's the character's totally overshadowed his, like, actual athleticism.
Yeah.
So having those two go against each other, okay, that sounds pretty fun. You got Mello and Trick, of course.
So. And Chris and I kind of figured that that would happen. And sure enough, that is what happened. Trick Williams back. That was like one of the... I think that was the reason why the angle just was so abrupt with Tony D. Like, hey, we need someone else to take on Dragunov. And I don't blame him because Trick and Mello and Dragunov have been in that main event scene for quite some time. Mm-hmm. I do not mind a little fresh blood being up there.
I'll tell you though, man, people love Trick Williams.
Oh, like, yes.
It's so funny because we talked when he first showed up, like, that's Vince's guy. The tall guy, charisma, can talk like crazy. And then we just got to see how he does in the ring. He's doing pretty good in the ring. And it's like, this is... he's the guy leapfrogging Mello. Whether you like it or not, doesn't matter. But yeah,
I mean, the bigger size will always help.
Yeah. And
always.
I mean, that crowd goes crazy. And hell, even when he showed up on SmackDown that one time, the crowd went crazy.
And it really helps that it's easy to chant "whoop that trick." So
it really is.
Everyone seems to love to chant that.
Yes. Although he doesn't need to put it on his jacket. That's really stupid, but whatever. The The Roxanne Perez heel turn? Like full-fledged heel turn?
Yeah.
Was it not like, was it necessary? Like it seems like everybody now in NXT has to be a face then heel or heel then face.
Yeah, that part's gotten kind of interesting where the pattern continues to repeat itself, where it's just like, oh, okay, we're just really testing things out. Like, we are really seeing like an independent card, quite frankly, where sometimes that person's the baby face, sometimes they're the heel. Yeah, that's happening in NXT just because people are sticking around a little bit longer now. I think that's the other thing that's making it noticeable. Like, they brought in so many people. I mean, we kind of talked about it when the black and gold era was around. Like, they were bringing in seasoned vets
Yeah.
into NXT, and it's just like, oh, like, yeah, they don't really need to be here. Like, if you're going to teach them a few extra pointers here to make sure they're doing everything the proper WWE way, cool, I can understand that. But they didn't need that much help.
No.
And these people, for the most part, do. And I mean, Roxanne Perez still has a crazy amount of time in front of her.
Yeah, she's not even 21, is she?
I believe she's 21,
Oh, okay.
maybe 22.
I mean, I know she was young, so, but it is funny though, that whole, if you're like, you've got to play both characters before you can go to the main roster. Like every, I think everybody. Well, no, Dragunov's been a good guy the whole time. Braun,
Yeah, she's
obviously.
22.
All right, yeah. So, Jesus.
Yeah, she is still super young.
Yeah, but I mean, I think every woman, Valkyra hasn't yet. I think every Blair Davenport's still a bad guy. Oh, by the way, I had a big problem with that match. All right, listen. Blair Davenport doesn't need to be down there, so maybe this is like swan song. But
Oh. No.
I saw Rooker coming back and costing her the match. It's like, okay, I get it that she hurt her in the parking lot, but what a dud of a return. Like, it wasn't even
Yeah.
physical.
Well, she gave her a DDT, so yeah, it was physical.
True, that's right. I forgot about
You're helping someone else win, and I'm not completely sure if Fallon Henley was aware or they were in cahoots. Like, it would have made a little more sense if she would have celebrated with Fallon a little bit more. Like,
Yeah.
she was cheering, like she was happy about what happened, but there wasn't some mastermindy plan here. So yeah, it felt like a weird situation where, you can understand a heel taking advantage of such things. A baby face doing it makes it strange.
And especially how she just like kind of laid out, like all like lackadaisical on the outside, like all cocky about it. Which I mean, I guess she should be, but then, wait, what? It was just bizarre. Like that's not the return. That's not how her return I figured would go, but.
Especially when I believe it was only last week, I think, that they did the whole beach scene and it says see you soon. And I'm like, oh, okay, so they're gonna do a couple more of these segments for Sol Ruka to come back. And nope, she just pops up and costs Blair Davenport a match. Again, like you said, it's understandable, but you wanted a little bit more out of that
Yeah.
situation.
Or like come to the rescue or something. Just something.
Oh.
But yeah.
Yeah, saving someone works better than costing
Yeah.
a heel match.
But it's also like she comes back. Nikita Lyons, where the hell'd she go?
I think she got injured again.
Oh, I hope not. That's terrible. I mean, I know she's another one who's got plenty of time ahead, But it's still like, God damn, she was back for 1, 2 weeks?
Yeah, she's been MIA here.
Yeah, because I know she came back from injury, and I think they even made a big deal out of saying that she's clear. Or maybe she wasn't yet, but you know, if you follow her on Instagram, she's looking healthy. You know, I mean, all well, in both ways, but you know, well, yeah. So it's
Right.
like, all right, if people are gonna come back, because Wendy Chu is still out too.
Yeah, she should be coming back sometime soonish, I would
Yeah,
imagine too.
and if that's the case, either send some people to the main roster or stop introducing more women. Because women first aren't as featured as the men. Yes, they have matches. They have more matches on NXT than they do on AEW. But we gotta slow down. I mean, they don't advertise NXT Level Up at all. But it is on Peacock every week where some of these people are on there. But you'd have no idea. Like, some of the people,
Oh.
where'd they go? Oh, they're over there. Okay.
They could mention that more often.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I wouldn't watch it still, but
Yeah. But like so much happened this week and like little blips. Gigi Dolin and Ariana Grace are going to have a makeover match. Which I
yep.
know Gigi Dolin's getting married, so maybe this is like, all right, she loses and like has to dye her hair and all this stuff. I don't know.
Oh, her and Mr. Wentz getting married, huh?
Yep. I follow Gigi on the Instagram, so I know all about
Yeah,
it.
for some reason I have not seen her post recently, so.
It's because it's Instagram and it sucks. But
That
you can
could
at least put it on following now, so you can see all the people you follow in order. So that's nice. And
oh.
a lot of people only do reels now too. So, but we had the debut of Fit Finley's kid getting squashed by Sean Spears. That was fun.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that was advancing another story that they're
Right.
going
Oh,
with.
right. Yeah.
So,
And
yeah, I'm seeing the one last big thing here, I think. But there was a lot of little things.
Brooks and Jensen had their like talking to each other. Makes
Yep.
sense.
And I did like that Dijak walks past. Bracey's just like, you know he's gonna get fucking killed.
And yeah, and that made me go, "Hey, can we get a Brooks and Dijak match, please?"
Yeah,
I mean, after we saw Josh Brooks and Jensen going at it, yeah,
that
Dijak and Brooks would be pretty sweet.
could work pretty well. Yeah, we got the return of William Regal, Mr. Regal.
That was fun, especially because you know why they did it.
Yeah, the "He's your daddy" chant was pretty hilarious, but it was rather awkward other than that.
I don't know why.
But
Oh, go ahead, sorry.
well, I'm with you. Like it didn't help anyone. You know, like, I don't know what good that did for Charlie Dempsey. He's kind of been, I mean, he's been on his own this whole time anyway. Like, why did Regal come out when he became a champion?
So, the whole thing, first off, and I think I told you in text, this over scripting of stuff. Like Damon Kemp, remember when he was pretty hot with like, feuding with a diamond mine? And
Oh, yeah.
then he was just like this little cocky dickhead, and he joins this No Quarter to Catch crew and he's just spouting off stuff. And I'm like, this isn't natural at all. It's so
Oh.
weird. Like the main roster's gotten a little looser. And NXT's like tightened up.
I guess I don't have a problem. I feel like he's playing the same cocky asshole character.
I don't know. I mean, just like some of the verbiage and stuff, it just like, seems forced. But The part with Dempsey and his dad, one, they just did that to put him in the ring together. But then also, like, Regal looking at his own kid, and his kid goes, "I'll defend this better than you ever could." It's kind of like a proud daddy moment. Like, all right, like, I don't have to acknowledge you're my kid, but I can acknowledge that, yeah, I'm proud of you. Because William Regal was a heel, what, his entire time? He was a wrestler in WWE?
Pretty much.
So, you
I
know.
mean, when he was the everyman, he was the baby face for
Ugh.
sure.
Poor guy. I'll never forget seeing those vignettes going, "What the hell is this?" But no, man, it's to me, I kind of took it as kind of like a passing of the, like, not passing the torch, but like the dad looking at his son going, "Yep, you're a chip off the old block." Just like how mean he is and like
Right.
dastardly he's gonna be. So that's what I got out of it. I thought it was just like a cool, like, wink wink moment too. But
Yeah.
also, who cares about the Heritage Cup? Even Noam Dar doesn't care now. I wish that guy was taller.
Yeah, he has the charisma to make it anywhere.
Oh my God. He's just sitting, she's like, and Lash Legend's like, "He's just been sitting like this all day." And then they sit down, I was like, how are you doing? Pops up alive, he's like, "Ah, it's in the past, don't worry about it." Like, wait,
Yeah,
what?
I
So,
was glad they went that route since he did the super depression thing last time around. Like they did not need to repeat that.
No, not at all. So, it's just that height thing, man. I wish he was taller. He could probably do a whole lot more, but you know, if you're making money, everyone wants to get better, wants to be at the top, but if you know your limitations, you're still making that money, does it really matter? So,
Yep, I think he's gonna have a job for a while.
it seems that way, yeah.
You
But
know.
WrestleMania's coming, so who the hell knows? So, it's always
Well,
after
I'm not
WrestleMania.
expect I yeah, I was gonna say I'm not expecting him to be on the WrestleMania card, but
No, I meant for cuts. You know how it works.
oh, yeah.
But I know we're probably missing something else in the NXT, but my voice is gonna go because I have been coughing like crazy.
No, I think that was about it, honestly, because we just then we're it's the last thing before the Tony D Carmelo Hayes match, which we've already talked about,
Yeah.
so.
NXT was packed so tightly with stuff. It was like, I think it was good. It kept my interest. I think. I don't know. Wow, that's a lot of, like, it's like giving you a peanut butter and jelly sandwich that's toasted with cheese and also it's got a hamburger. You're like, what? I don't know if I like this or not, but I had a whole lot of stuff. So, which that sounds terrible. Maybe?
I don't know.
Peanut
Go
butter and
for it.
jelly sandwich with a burger in the middle?
Yeah, I know that people have done it.
Really? Ugh.
Yeah.
What didn't some people put peanut butter on hamburgers now?
Oh yeah, the wife liked that on
Really?
from the one food truck. Yes.
Well, I know her
I can't
movies.
remember the food truck. But yeah, and I mean there's always the what, the Elvis.
Peanut
Everyone
butter
loves to do the
banana
Elvis.
sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That doesn't sound that bad.
That's no, pretty tasty breakfast.
No, I never had it. I don't like bananas,
It's,
so.
yep, it is pretty tasty breakfast. I
Yeah.
have had it at least once.
Well,
So,
that's my Stunt Granny beer review. I don't have
Bell
one.
Time beer here.
Nothing.
One of the beer breweries that does not exist anymore, but I did buy quite a bit of their stock before they went out of business. Sideswipe Brewing Sexy Weekend Locale IPA. This is one of those drinks that I will be a little bit bummed about because this is a pool beer. If you don't want to get hammered but you want to drink all day in the hot sun, this bad boy would always do the trick. It has a nice hoppy flavor to it, but obviously at 3.5% is quite mild and very drinkable. So it will be disappointing to not have any more of this after I'm done with this six pack. So that is the Bell Time beer from Matt DeFrango 11. He is at Granny Maze. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Amazon. Have a good night, grandkids.